Hello, this is Dwani Pandya, the principal correspondent for SearchSecurity.in. I would like to welcome you to today's expert podcast on cyber espionage. Our speaker for the day is Jeffrey Carr, the founder and CEO of TIA Global. Carr is a cyber intelligence expert who specializes in the investigation of cyber attacks against governments and infrastructures by state and non-state hackers. He has authored a book called Inside Cyber Warfare and has spoken about the issues of cyber warfare at various events. Corporate espionage has existed ever since the business itself. However, the corporate now needs to fight this battle from the cyberspace front as well. In this podcast, we will try to understand the exact nature of cyber espionage and how businesses can protect their sensitive data from the same. Welcome, Jeffrey. Today there is quite a lot of confusion between cyber warfare and cyber espionage. Can you explain the difference between these two terms?
Best way to do that is with by example. So in the Russia-Georgia war of 2008, that was a military action against Georgia, or between Georgia and Russia. And with that military action, there was a cyber component where government websites were being attacked and shut down to make communications more difficult and so on, to add chaos to the environment. So in that case, that would be a form of cyber war, because it's done in conjunction with an actual military attack. In China, when they use cyber tactics, maybe spear phishing attacks or denial of service attacks against political dissidents, it might feel like war, right? But it doesn't really meet any legal standard for war. Then you have espionage. So espionage has been around forever, and it's never been considered an act of war. But however, having said that, what I see today is that a nation state can accomplish its political agenda through cyber espionage. And if that agenda includes or achieving dominion over other states, then it could be argued that that's a form of warfare, because that is what war is all about. I believe that we now need to rethink what espionage is really capable of doing, and perhaps we should treat it as a form of warfare.
How are cyber tactics used to conduct corporate espionage?
Okay, so the way that works is if you were an attacker and you wanted to get patent information on a piece of software, for example, code, source code, or maybe the source code for a new game that hasn't come out yet, and you're a rival game company manufacturer, you would want to compromise that other company's network. And one of the easiest ways to do that is by sending out these what are known as spear phishing attacks, which are these are emails that look genuine, and they will attract a certain number of employees' attention, and they'll click on a malicious link, or they'll open a document. In years past, it was very easy to identify a spear phishing attack because they're so sloppily done. But today, they're very sophisticated, and a lot of times you simply don't know. That the moment you click on a malicious link or open a bad document, your device is now owned by an attacker. And within a matter of seconds, your network is going to be infected. And that's how cyber espionage occurs, because the code in the attack will open servers around the world and exfiltrate data to those servers, where they will then be forwarded or collected from the attacker.
Can cyber espionage be used to damage the reputation of a company? For instance, One of the common theories behind the recent Stuxnet attack is that of a business rivals trying to malign the image of Siemens, the maker of a system affected by this bomb.
I wouldn't call that espionage as much as I would call it basically just an attack on sort of a corporate strategy, right? So if you were a competitor of Siemens and you were trying to gain market share, it would be in your interest to have the public or your potential customers feel like the Siemens software is unreliable.
Chinese entities are repeatedly reported to be indulging in cyber espionage. What is your take on this?
In the case of China, China utilizes many different ways to gather intellectual property. Some of them are legitimate, some of them are not. If you want to know whether or not this is true, you can look at the number of patent filings. So in the last 5 years, the number of patents have increased 500% of Chinese patents. Now, this is due in part because they're very good, but it doesn't address such a huge statistical leap, right? There must be something else there. And the quickest way that you would be able to advance yourself technologically is to leapfrog from your intellectual property, innovate on that to have something brand new and that's more advanced, and then file a patent. Again, this is an observation, right? I'm not accusing China or saying that China is definitely doing this. I'm saying that the evidence points to this.
How can companies protect themselves against cyber espionage attacks?
Intellectual property is being drained in vast amounts. Strategy is kind of the same that I talked about earlier. So you have to protect your intellectual property that you believe is being drained from your company or that might be of value to a competitor. You have to protect it differently than you protect your network, right? You can't rely on antivirus and a firewall or on some type of other behavior-based antivirus program. You have to actually segregate it from your network, create additional layers of protection, monitor in real time access, because it's not just an external adversary. A lot of data is lost because of an internal employee, what's known as an insider threat, you know. And unless you're paying attention, as a matter of security practice, that you're observing employee access and you're observing indicators of stress, the sorts of things that insiders typically show far before they actually steal the data, right? If you're not paying attention, then it's hopeless. You want to raise the bar so that it's as difficult as possible to get to it. So keeping it segregated is one way to do it. Encrypting it is another way to do it. Taking it off the network entirely, right, is a third way. Now, some of these ways may not be practical, because if this data is worked on an hourly basis by multiple employees, you can't make it too hard to get a hold of. You have to still do business, you know. So it's going to be a trial and error process, I think.
Thanks a lot, Jeffrey.
Oh, good. Well, my pleasure.